Good morning, friends, and welcome to another edition of the Let the Bible Speak program. We're glad that you've joined in this morning. We want to consider five facts of life. There are five facts of life that we all must face. We cannot ignore them. We cannot just simply dismiss them. We cannot go on in our life and act like they do not exist. They are five facts that we must all face. And they deal with our relationship with God. You know, life is different for all people. There are some things that people have to face that other people don't have to face. Different people have different educational levels and different amounts of wealth, and they come from different portions of society. They have different kinds of health. And because of those things, they might experience different things in life that other people do not experience. For example, a person might go through life and never get cancer, never get any kind of a serious disease, and yet we have friends around us who do get cancer and have diseases. And so there are some things that some people have to face, and there are other things that people do not have to face. But all people experience these same five facts of life. It doesn't matter who you are, your age, your educational background, your social background, how much money you have, how much health you have, what country you come from, it doesn't matter. We all face these five facts. And so I want us to consider that this morning in our relationship to God. And if you have your Bible, I would encourage you to get your Bible out. We will be looking at some things in God's Word. The first of the five facts that we all must face is that life goes by quickly. Life goes by quickly. In the large spectrum of things, we live a very short period of time. And so because of that, we need to use our time wisely. If you'll turn with me to Job chapter 7 and verse 6. Job chapter 7 and verse 6. Man's days are swifter than a weaver's shuttle, and are spent without hope. A weaver's shuttle is that piece of wood that you toss back and forth through the loom to weave the yarn back and forth. And you toss it very quickly, and it goes from one side to the other. Job chapter 9, verses 25 and 26. Now my days are swifter than a post, that is, someone riding on a horse or a runner. They flee away. They see no good. They are passed away as the swift ships, as the eagle that swoopeth on the prey. So life is quick. In Psalm chapter 39 and verse 4, we read about the brevity of life. Psalm 39 verse 4, Jehovah, make me to know my end and the measure of my days, what it is. Let me know how frail I am. And that is a great statement. In Psalm chapter 90 verse 10, the psalmist says that we live maybe 70 or 80 years, and that is the end of our life. Sometimes people will live a little bit longer. Sometimes there are a few folks that live over 100 years old, but in the large spectrum of things, life is very brief. In Psalm 90, verse 10, the days of our years are 70 years, that is 70, or even by reason of strength, 80 years, 80. Yet there is pride but labor, yet is there pride but labor and sorrow, for it is soon gone, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, and thy wrath according to the fear that is due unto thee? So teach us to number our days, that we may get us a heart of wisdom. And that certainly is a great sentiment as well. Teach me to know my days. Teach me to number my days. We need to make the most of our life. We don't need to procrastinate. We don't need to put off like Felix did with Paul when he was preaching to him in Acts chapter 24 and verse 25. Felix said, go thy way, when I have a convenient season, I will call thee. So many people just waste their time, and the devil gets us to waste our time and to procrastinate and to put off and not obey the Lord. Life goes by quickly. We have one life to live, as we'll see in a minute. And so we need to make the good use of our time. Paul said in Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 16 that we are to be wise, and we are to buy up the opportunity. In James chapter 4 and verse 17, James likens our life unto a vapor. In James chapter 4 and verse 14, what is your life? For you are a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanish away. And then later he says in verse 17, to him therefore that knoweth to do good and doeth it not, to him it is sin. We know that our life is brief and we need to be acting upon what time God gives us. And it may be sooner than what we think. Sometimes people pass from this life in an automobile accident, or they are stricken with some sort of an illness, or some other situation comes along, and they die sooner than they think. But even if they live a full age, it goes by very quickly. And the older I get, the more I realize that even myself. Sometimes young people think that they have all the time in the world, when in fact life goes by quickly. It's like a vapor. It's like a quick horse. It's like the eagle swooping down, Job says. And so we need to make good use of our time and not waste it. A second of the five facts that we all must face is that life will have its troubles. All people go through life with some sort of trouble. That in part is due to the sin that is in the world that entered in when Adam and Eve sinned all the way back in the Garden of Eden. Sin entered into the world. Romans chapter 5 and verse 12. And all have sinned. All have chosen that. And sin brings trouble and trial in the world. In Genesis chapter 47 and verse 9, Jacob says to Pharaoh, the days of the years of my pilgrimage are 130 years. Few and evil have been the days of the years of my life, and they have not attained unto the days of the years of the life of my fathers in the days of their pilgrimage. And so even Jacob describes 130 years as being just a few years. But he says, few and evil have been the days of the years of my life. There were troubles in his family. He's in the midst of a famine at this time. And so there's going to be problems in life. Job mentions that, of course, in the Old Testament. Job was tried and tested by Satan, and he came out faithful in the end. But in Job chapter 14, verses 1 and 2, man that is born of a woman is of few days and of full of trouble. And so that puts the first two facts together. Of few days, life is short, and full of trouble. Life will have its troubles. We should use, however, our troubles and our trials to make us stronger, to make us better. We should learn from them. We should grow and mature. Paul writes in Romans chapter 5, verses 3 and 4, and not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations. And of course, Paul certainly knew about tribulations, but even the first century Christians were persecuted and had troubles. And not only so, but we also rejoice in our tribulations, knowing that the tribulation worketh steadfastness, and steadfastness approvedness, and approvedness hope, and hope putteth not to shame. And so we rejoice because these things that are troublesome to us, they actually work good in our life. They help us to be steadfast. They help us to be approved. One version says here, character. As we go through troubles and trials, we become stronger. We become a better person for it. And so life will have its troubles. We choose whether or not to handle those troubles and trials in a right way. In James chapter 1, beginning in verse 2, James 1 and verse 2, count it all joy, my brethren, when you fall into manifold temptations or trials, knowing that the proving of your faith worketh patience or steadfastness. And let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, lacking in nothing. And then we find later in verse 12, blessed is the man that endureth temptation, for when he hath been approved, that is, passed the test, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord promised to them that love him. And so we need to pass that test and that trial and not give in. We should not give in to the devil. We should not give in and just quit. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 5, the Lord deals with us and he chastens us like a father would with a son. And we find that when we go through that chastening, Hebrews 12 verse 11, all chastening seemeth for the present to be not joyous but grievous. Yet afterward it yieldeth peaceable fruit unto them that have been exercised thereby, even the fruit of righteousness. And so we go through those troubles and trials, and what comes out on the other end? Fruit. Fruit is born. What is that? The fruit of righteousness. It helps us to be a righteous person. Wherefore, lift up the hands that hang down and the palsied knees, and make straight paths for your feet, that that which is lame be not turned out of the way, but rather be healed. And so, pick yourselves up, help others through these troubles and trials, and it makes us a better person. And we should also remember that heaven, where we're going, is without troubles and trials. We have them in this life, but we will not have them in the next life. And so that's one reason why we need to remain faithful. One of the descriptions of heaven is found in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 4, where John writes, "And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore. The first things are passed away." And we know that troubles and trials cause mourning and crying and pain and tears. All these things are going to be gone in heaven because there won't be troubles and trials in heaven. And so, let us remain faithful to the Lord. A third fact that we must face in life is that life is final. There is no such thing as reincarnation, which we find in some Eastern religions where you die and then you come back to life and live another life and you die and you come back again. That is often found in the Eastern religions, in Buddhism and other types of religions. But we live once and we die once and we all get just one life. And I think about when Hezekiah was dying, Isaiah told him in 2 Kings chapter 20 and verse 1, "Get your house in order, for you must die. Get your house in order, for you must die." And we know that that is something that is important for us today. Is your house in order, friends? Is your marriage right? Is your parenting and the way you're raising your children, is that right? Are you acting properly as an individual with people out in the community and at work? And are you a faithful Christian? Have you obeyed the gospel? Are you attending church services like you should and reading your Bible and praying like you should? You see, if not, you need to get your house in order. And if my life is not right, I need to get my house in order. There's just one life to live. In Ecclesiastes chapter 12 and verse 7, when talking about death, Solomon says, "And the dust returneth to the earth as it was, and the spirit returneth unto God who gave it." When we die, our body goes to the earth, we put it in the grave, our spirit returns to God and awaits with Him for the judgment day. We don't come back. We don't come back in another life. There is no reincarnation. The Hebrew writer says in Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27, "It is appointed unto man once to die, and then cometh the judgment." So we don't have multiple lives and multiple deaths. And so we need to understand the importance of getting our life right this time around. There are no do-overs. There are no second chances. When the rich man died and Lazarus died in Luke chapter 16, verses 19 through 31, they were separated. The rich man went into torment because he was not right with God. Lazarus went into paradise, or Abraham's bosom, because he was right with God. And we read in Luke 16, verse 24, or verse 23, Luke 16, 23, "And in Hades," that's the realm of departed spirits, that's where they await until the judgment day, "he lifted his eyes up, being in torment," the rich man, "and seeth Abraham afar off, and Lazarus in his bosom. And he cried and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus, that he may dip the tip of his finger in water, and cool my tongue, for I am in anguish in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, rememberest thou in thy lifetime receiveth the good things, and Lazarus in like manner evil things? But now here he is comforted, and thou art in anguish. And besides all this, between us and you, there is a gulf fixed, that they that would pass from here to you may not be able, and that none may cross over from there to us." And he said, "I pray thee therefore, Father, that thou wouldest send him to my father's house, for I have five brethren, that he may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment." He wanted Lazarus to go back from the dead and talk to his family. But Abraham said, they have Moses and the prophets, let them hear them. God does not send people back from the dead to speak to us today. That is a common belief among some with regard to ghosts and spirits, and people engage in different kinds of occult practices in order to speak to the dead, but they don't depart from Hades. People do not depart from Hades until the final end and the judgment day. In Revelation chapter 20, we're told that death and Hades gave up their dead. People do not leave until the judgment day, and then they go to face Christ on the judgment seat. So right now, people are not coming back from the dead. What do we have? Jesus said they have Moses and the prophets. They were living at a time where the old law is still in force. And so they have God's word, in other words. Verse 30, he said, no, Father Abraham, but if one go to them from the dead, they will repent. And he said unto him, if they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded if one rise from the dead. And so, one life, one death, and when we depart, we do not come back. No do-overs, no second chances. We are passing through on our way to another place, either heaven or hell. Peter describes us in 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse 11 as pilgrims and sojourners. And so we need to be mindful of the life that we live. We need to remain detached in the sense of living a godly life and not being consumed with everything just in this life. Paul said in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 7, for we brought nothing into the world, for neither can we carry anything out. And so we're not going to take anything with us. The earth and the works therein are going to be burned up in the judgment day. 2 Peter chapter 3 verse 10. Everything's going to melt. It's all going to be dissolved. It's all going to pass away. We cannot take anything with us. And so we need to be careful. John talks about the love of the world. 1 John 2 and verse 15, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the vainglory of life is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof, but he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. This world is going to be gone, and we can't take anything with us. So we need to be very careful about our journey. One time through life, we've got to get it right. And if you're not getting it right, friend, let us help you to do that. Let's look at some more matters with regard to life being final. Because we live just one life, we need to aim high. We need to aim for heaven. So many people just go through life. They're not thinking about God or His Word. They're not thinking about heaven. They're just living on the earth from day to day, a worldly life. They need to get their eyes up and on Christ. Paul went through life, Philippians chapter 3 and verse 14, he said, I press on toward the goal unto the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus, or the upward calling. I need to keep my eyes fixed and focused on heaven. In Colossians chapter 3 verses 1 and 2, if then you were raised together with Christ, seek the things that are above, where Christ is seated on the right hand of God. Set your mind on the things that are above, not on the things that are upon the earth. For you died, that is, died spiritually, when we separated our life from that old man, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is our life, shall be manifested, then shall you also with him be manifested in glory. That is, with him in heaven. So keep your eyes on those things that are above. We need to be good at what we do. We just have one life. Solomon said in Ecclesiastes chapter 9 and verse 10, whatever your hand finds to do, do it with all of your might. We need to put our all into serving God and doing his will. We just have one life to do it. We need to focus on what is first. We need to put God's kingdom first. Matthew chapter 6 and verse 33, seek first the kingdom. We just have one life, and so put first things first. In Luke chapter 10 and verse 42, Martha was cumbered about by things in the home, and Mary was sitting listening to Jesus. And Jesus said, she hath chosen the good part. She's chosen what is first. One thing is needful, for Mary hath chosen the good part, which shall not be taken away from her. She chose to sit and listen to Jesus. And so focus on what is right. And it's a great attitude to have. The psalmist had that attitude in Psalm 27 and verse 4. One thing have I asked of Jehovah that I will seek after, that I may dwell in the house of Jehovah all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of Jehovah and to inquire in his temple. For in the day of trouble he will keep me secretly in his pavilion, in the covert of his tabernacle will he hide me. And so I want to be with the Lord and worship him. One thing I have asked for. We need to focus on what is first. We also need to pay attention to the details of life. Sometimes we go through life and we're not serious about serving the Lord. It doesn't really matter. In Matthew chapter 5 and verse 19, we are supposed to keep the commandments. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments and shall teach men shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. The small things, the details of life, we need to pay attention about those things. In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 21, we find, well done, good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things. I will set thee over many things. We've got just one life. We can't overlook the details of serving the Lord. And then we need to keep on all the way to the end. The Apostle Paul is a great example for us in this matter. In 2 Timothy chapter 4 and verse 7, Paul writes, I have fought the good fight. I have finished the course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give to me at that day, and not to me only, but to all them that have loved his appearing. And so, the importance of keeping on all the way to the end. What is a fourth fact that we must face? And that is that life is what you and God make of it. Of course, we don't have time this morning to talk about God's end of that. He does so many things for us. But we can talk about our things, what we need to be doing. Life is what you make of it, friend. Life is not fixed and unchanging. Life is not pre-designed and predestined like a computer program. You have choices. You can choose life or death, right or wrong. Deuteronomy chapter 30, verse 5 and verse 19. You can make a choice of living a good life, a righteous life, or an impure life. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 10, he that would love life and see good days, let him refrain his tongue from evil and his lips that they speak no guile, and let him turn away from evil and do good. You see, you don't have to be an evil or wicked person. You can choose what is right in life. So, life is what you make of it, friend. That's a great responsibility that you and I need to think about. Life is also in God's hands to control. He turns our life through His providence and through His care and control of life. In Proverbs chapter 21 and verse 1, Proverbs 21 verse 1, the king's heart is in the hand of Jehovah as the water courses. He turneth it whithersoever He will. Every way of man is right in his own eyes, but Jehovah weigheth the hearts. And so, God can change people's lives. Life is a gift from God. Acts 17, verses 25 through 28. God made us. In Him we live and move and have our very being. And so, life can be altered through prayer and through providence. Life is what you make of it. And even God is interested in us coming to Him in prayer and seeking Him. And He can give us a different life through answered prayer. But you have to come to Him with an obedient attitude, a humble attitude, and pray to God. You have to be right with God. You have to be on praying terms with God. In 1 Peter chapter 3 that we were reading earlier, verse 12, for the eyes of the Lord are upon the righteous, and His ears unto their supplication. But the face of the Lord is upon them that do evil. God's face of judgment, as it were, is against us if we are living an evil life. He won't hear our prayer. So life is what you make of it. And then, last of all, we find that life is accountable to God. These are facts that we must face. There is a God, and we are accountable to Him. Life is preparatory. It's preparing us to meet God in judgment. Life's deeds will be judged by God. And so, we need to be careful about that. We need to be careful about what we think and about what we say and about what we do. Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12 in verse 36, for example, with regard to our words, I say unto you that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. The words that we are saying, the actions that we are engaged in, what we are thinking of, all of that is preparing us for our sentence, our divine sentence in the judgment day, whether they be good or whether they be evil. In Romans chapter 14 and verse 12, so then each one of us shall give account of himself to God. And we need to be mindful of that very thing. We are going to stand before the judgment seat of God. Romans 14 verse 10. We're going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 10. And Paul says that we're going to give an account of the deeds done in the body. For we must all be made manifest before the judgment seat of Christ. 2 Corinthians 5, 10. That each one may receive the things done in the body according to what he hath done, whether it be good or bad. So we have what we say. It's going to be held in account. Matthew 12, 36. What we have done with our body is going to be held into account. 2 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 10. What we think in our mind is going to be held in account. In Romans chapter 2 and verse 16, Paul writes, in the day when God shall judge the secrets of men according to my gospel by Jesus Christ. What's in our heart? What's in our mouth? What's in our hands and feet? Every aspect of our life is going to be brought into account in the judgment day. And so we must be mindful of that very thing. The books, God's word, are going to be open and we're going to be judged according to those things. Revelation chapter 20 and verse 12, and I saw the dead, the great and the small, standing before the throne, and books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life, and the dead were judged of the things which were written in the books according to their works. And so, we find that. And also verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead that were in it, and the death and Hades gave up the dead that were in them, and they were judged, every man, according to their works. And so be mindful of that. And then last of all, fact number 5, life is accountable to God, as we've been saying, and we must watch our deeds, our actions. We must watch ourselves. We must be ready and prepared to meet our Maker. Solomon said, this is the end of the matter, that to fear God, the whole duty of man is to fear God and keep His commandments. Why, Solomon? What's the purpose of that? Why must we go through life fearing God and keeping His commandments? Well, Ecclesiastes chapter 12, verse 14, for God will bring every work into judgment with every hidden thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. 5 facts that you must face. Life goes quickly. Life will have its troubles. Life is final. Life is what you and God make of it. Life is accountable to God. How are you facing these facts, friend? If we can help you face them in the proper way, if we can sit down and study with you, if you'll come and worship with us, we can help you face these facts and help you meet God in the judgment day. Please contact us. Let us sit down together and have a study of God's Word. We're thankful for your time this morning, and we hope that you'll have a good day.